The year 1863, at that time the President of these United States, Abraham Lincoln, declared that on the fourth Thursday in the month of November, a national holiday would be termed Thanksgiving. And in fact, in his words, it would be a day of thanksgiving, a day of praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens. The fourth Thursday in the month of November every year, a day of praise and thanksgiving to our beneficent Father. That has not been understood very well. I like Thanksgiving Day. I like being with family. Friends, football, good food. Maybe a day out of the year where you can eat everything you want to eat and not apologize for it. I like Thanksgiving. I'm preaching and I'm speaking to an audience in an assembly this morning that understands that especially as the people of God, we do not only one day in a month out of the year give praise and thanksgiving to our beneficent Father. Understanding that principle, that is, that we're not just to be a thankful and grateful people one day out of the year. Understanding that principle and living by it are two different matters, though. Welcome this morning to all who are here, especially those that are visiting with us this morning. This being travel time, we have several of our people who are gone and away from us today. But you who are visiting with us today, we say again to you, welcome. And we are glad that you are here. If the Lord lets us be together, we will assemble again this afternoon at 5 o'clock. We would love to have you come and be a part of that assembly today at 5. The Gospel of Luke, please, chapter 17. I want us to go there in just a moment. In the Gospel of Luke and chapter 17, I want us to see something in the text from Luke chapter 17. We live in an ungrateful age. And in saying that, I did not tell you something that you did not already know. We are living out the days of our lives. We are surrounded by ungrateful people. And the Apostle Paul referenced this kind of thing and these kinds of people. 2 Timothy, as he wrote to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 3, he said to Timothy, Timothy, know and understand that difficult, stressful, perilous times will come. He says in 2 Timothy chapter 3 that men will be lovers of themselves. That men will be lovers of money. They will be boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, those who have a form of godliness, but they are denying the power therein. And Paul writes to Timothy and he says, from these kinds of people, turn away. People who love self more than they love anybody else. People who love money and pleasure, that's what drives them. People who are conceited and proud is put in the same category with people who are unthankful. And Paul doesn't say to Timothy, now Timothy, people who are conceited, lovers of self, lovers of money, lovers of pleasure, boastful, arrogant, haughty, headstrong. He doesn't just say, you remove yourself from these kinds of people. He says you also remove yourself from people who persist in an attitude of unthankfulness. Luke chapter 17, are you there? Let's begin the text in verse 19. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, I'm reading from the New King James Version, verse 11. Luke 17 and verse 11, "Now it happened as he," that is Jesus, "went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee, and as Jesus entered a certain village, there met him 10 men, and these men were lepers." Lepers who stood afar off. And that's where you would expect lepers to stand. That is, afar off. They were not permitted in the presence and the company of others. They had leprosy. "They lifted up their voices," verse 13, "and they said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" And when Jesus saw them, the 10 lepers, he said to them, "Go show yourselves to the priests." And so it was, as the 10 lepers went, they, the 10, were cleansed. Verse 15. And one of them, when he saw that he had been healed, returned, and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at the feet of Jesus, giving Jesus thanks. And this one was a Samaritan. So Jesus answered and he said, verse 17, Were there not ten who were cleansed? But where are the 9? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner, this one who was a Samaritan? And Jesus said to him, "Arise, go your way. Your faith has made you whole." I want to look at 3 basic points quickly in the beginning. Make some application to us today. We see the predicament of all 10. All 10 here in this story in Luke 17 were lepers. All 10 stood afar off because they were lepers. And all 10 needed something from someone else that they could not provide for themselves. They were powerless, they were helpless to deal with their leprosy, their sickness, their disease. That was the predicament of all 10. The plea of all 10 was, "Have mercy on us. We want mercy." The praise, however, came from only one. Jesus asked, "Where are the 9? Where are the rest of the ones who were in the same predicament as this one, who were in the same condition as this one, who made the same plea, but only one returned. Only one returned to give thanks and to give glory and to give praise. What happened to the other 9? There are a lot of lessons to be learned. There are a lot of truths to be learned from this story in Luke 17. Let's make application to us today. We're not lepers. We do not have leprosy. If someone's here and has leprosy, I don't know about it. Our sickness, however, that all of us have in common is we are sinners. And because of our sickness, because of our disease, because of our problem of sin, all of us are also in the same predicament and should be making the same plea: have mercy. God, do for me what I cannot do for myself. God, provide for me cleansing from this problem of sin, relief from this burden of sin. God, save me and cleanse me. Have mercy on me. Be gracious to me. That ought to be our plea. because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And the wages of sin is death. And the soul that sins shall die. Well, God has been merciful to us. God has been merciful to all mankind in providing the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, in making a way back to God the Father through Jesus Christ the Son. The blood has been shed. The price has been paid. The atonement has been offered. It has been freely given to all who will receive, to all who will obey, to all who will believe, and by faith come to God through Jesus Christ the Son. But the question for those of us who have plead for the blood of Jesus and have begged for mercy, how grateful are we? How thankful am I? Do I give praise and offer thanksgiving to God for His, in the language of the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 9:15, His indescribable gift? Words can't describe the grace of God through the gift of Jesus Christ. But do I give thanks and do I offer praise to God more than just once a year or a few times out of the year? If not, I think the text here in Luke 17 says, in a lot of ways, I'm no different from the nine. Let's make application. The passage in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In fact, the exhortations as Paul closes out his first letter to the Thessalonians. A lot of good exhortations in chapter 5 of 1 Thessalonians. It makes for good study and good reading. But I particularly enjoy verses 16 and 17 and 18. 1 Thessalonians 5. Rejoice always. We are to be a joyful people. Of all people, those of us in Jesus Christ ought to be joyful people. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. Verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will in Jesus Christ for you. You who are in Christ. I love one translation that renders verse 18 here. No matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will for you who belong to Jesus Christ. Why be thankful? This is the will of God for you. That ought to be enough right there. We are to be thankful because this is the will of God for those of us who are in Christ. This is God's will for your life, to be a grateful person. And I'll advise us of this because I think 16 and 17 and 18 no doubt go together. I don't believe it's possible for me to be a person with joy and a person who prays without ceasing if I'm ungrateful. Ungrateful people will not be joyful, prayerful people. I'm afraid sometimes, though, we look at this verse 18, this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you, that you always be thankful. We have a wrong view of this. Maybe a wrong attitude about this. That is, all right, so what you're saying, preacher, is I'm to be thankful all the time because God says so. Whether I want to or not, whether I like to be thankful or not, I guess just one of those passages you say, all right, I'm commanded to be thankful, so you be thankful whether you want to or not. We got the wrong attitude about that. This is not God saying, I expect you now to be grateful people whether you like it or not. This is a command I've given you. If you don't want to lose your soul, you better be thankful. We've missed the point. Now, don't misunderstand. When something's the will of God, we ought to take it seriously. God is revealing to us in this passage a principle that is in and according to His will, that we be grateful people. And the reason He reveals that to us is because it's for our good. There is benefit and blessing in this life and ultimately in the life to come for people who are joyful, grateful, thankful people. We need to see God's blessing and favor being poured out on us abundantly in Jesus Christ, and as recipients of God's graciousness, we need to appreciate that God says, "My people will be grateful people." And because they are grateful people, there will be blessings that flow through their lives in abundance. Yes, we should be going to passages, Colossians 2 and verse 7, that say, "Overflow with thanksgiving." Yes, we should be going to passages like Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15 that says, "Give thanks to His name." Or Ephesians 5 and verse 20 that says, "Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Or Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, "Be anxious in nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving let your requests be known unto God." Or Colossians chapter 4 and verse 2, "Be devoted to praying. Be alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving." And on and on. We could quote all of these passages that again reference the essentiality of being thankful people. But the point I'm stressing this morning is I believe God tells us to be grateful people because there's blessings in our life. And it will bless others when we are the kinds of people that we ought to be. I'll tell you something about grateful people. Grateful people are more useful people. If you want to be useful in service to God, now that's His will. Useful to the Master. Master, a vessel of honor, prepared, sanctified for every good use and every good work. That's the will of God for your life in Christ Jesus. Grateful people are useful people. Being thankful spares us from being critical. Being thankful spares us from being continual complainers. Being thankful prevents us from excessive anger and bitterness and continual depression. An attitude of gratitude. The title of a book. But we will be more useful when we are grateful. Being grateful people improves relationships. That makes us of use. What makes for one of the things that makes for a better home and a better church in the local sense is an attitude of gratitude. Being thankful people. I ran across this in a book I was reading earlier this year. The author of the book said, when married couples have struggles, and all of us will, when married couples have struggles, it's seldom over who does what or who did what in the relationship. Seldom. Over who did what or who does what in the relationship. But far more often, it's over the giving and receiving of gratitude for what they do. Somebody wasn't being thanked when thanks is properly due. Lack of appreciation. Maybe you've heard about the little boy that went to a birthday party. Mom went to pick up the little boy from the birthday party, and Mom said, "Did you thank the nice lady for inviting you to the birthday party?" And the little boy said, "Well, no." And the mom said, "Well, why not?" And the little boy said, "Well, I was going to, but the girl in front of me in line thanked her, and the nice lady said, don't mention it, and so I didn't." You know, sometimes we don't mention it. Thanks for the soup. Thanks for the supper. Thanks for serving me. Isn't it easy? Isn't it easy, parents, to see the little bad and overlook the lot of good? Oh, I've stopped preaching and started meddling now, haven't I? Your child's room is messy most of the time. And they brought the cell phone to the table again. Are they texting too much? Now, don't misunderstand me. Rules are rules. And they're mom and dad's rules. The rules are meant to be obeyed, not to be broken. That child's a good, morally pure, respectful, kind child. They're just messy. They'll learn. If we dwell on the negative and focus on the negative and seldom, if ever, encourage and praise the positive. I'm not saying ignore the bad. I'm saying notice and praise and show appreciation for the good. I can tell you, when people are not being thanked and when appreciation doesn't flow forth in our homes and our churches, people will shrivel up and die. Somebody said, well, we ought to be made of sterner stuff than that. Are you really? God knew we would need it. I'm not talking about sugar, syrupy flattery that's insincere. I'm talking about genuine gratitude that expresses itself in words, thank you. I said we live in an ungrateful age, and we do. My kids go to school with, and your kids go to school with, most kids who are unthankful. I don't understand all the reasons and whys behind why most in the world, not just young, but young, middle, and old, are ungrateful people. I can tell you, though, from having talked to those who are in the kingdom now, who are learning things and working on things. I remember one person telling me that I struggle with saying thank you. And this person told me I struggle with saying thank you because I never heard thank you. Not in my house. It was what was expected of you. After all, you're the servant, you're the slave. This is your job. This is your work. And you're just supposed to expect, you're just expected to do it and not expect appreciation or notice for it. What a wrong-headed view that is. But I can tell you, when people grow up being surrounded by ingratitude, chances are high that they become ungrateful. And being ungrateful is a path toward being unholy. A thankful heart is a happy heart. And you don't have to watch a VeggieTales video to understand that. A thankful heart is a happy heart. Is it difficult for you to express thanksgiving? Or does that come natural? I guess one of the things that I'm trying to say in admonition this morning for us to take into our lives continually is that don't despise the small things. Don't get to a point in your life where you overlook the blessings. A hot shower. A hot cup of Dunkin' Donuts coffee. Air conditioning, heating, padded pews. Don't despise the day of small things. I'm not saying that these are the things that we have to be grateful people. But I am saying we live in such prosperity and blessing that sometimes I take for granted those things that I have in abundance that are not necessary. Why are there people who struggle to be thankful? Maybe it's pride. Maybe it's an attitude of self-sufficiency. And I think the pride and the self-sufficiency go together. That was in 2 Timothy 3. Proud people refuse to acknowledge that they are dependent on anyone other than themselves. Proud people have this attitude about themselves that I worked for myself. I paid for it with my money. It's the result of my skill and my intelligence. Proud people are so full of themselves that it's not possible, they're not capable of acknowledging any other source, most especially the one true source, God, the great beneficent giver. And maybe that doesn't describe or speak to any of us here this morning, but we must be careful that we do not become proud and self-sufficient. Maybe one of the reasons we're not as grateful as we ought to be, even as the people of God, is because there is a semblance of greed and some form of lust that is in our heart controlling us rather than the Lord Jesus Christ and His Spirit-revealed Word. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We're surrounded by people who are never satisfied with what they have. It's never enough. They always want more. They always wish they had more. They want better. They want newer. Nothing is ever good enough. Some people are just bitter. They're bitter, not because they don't have anything. They're bitter because they don't have everything. David said in Psalm 13 and verse 6, I will sing to the Lord. I will sing to the Lord because He has dealt bountifully with me. One translation says, I will sing to the Lord because He has been gracious to me. Think about that. I will sing to the Lord because He has been gracious to me. Think about that, not just this week, but think about that regularly. How good and gracious is our God, and how we should be grateful, thankful people. Especially those of us in Jesus Christ. I challenged our high school group earlier this month. I said, I want you this month especially. I want you this month to work harder at being thankful, grateful people. I want you this month to pay careful attention to those people, those things in your life for which you are to be thankful, to the extent that you thank the giver, God, and then you express thanksgiving to others. Expressing thanksgiving is a powerful form of encouragement. And encouragement is like oxygen to the soul. Every one of us needs it. And the challenge was for us to work hard in November so that it just naturally flows into December. And if the Lord gives us 2013, we become thankful and grateful people. And we express that to God and to others. That was my challenge for them. That is my challenge for all of us. And then December, if the Lord gives us December, the challenge is for us to be givers. Now again, I'm not saying be givers in December and not the rest of the time in your life. Gratitude exhorts us to be gracious givers. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Most in the world in December think about getting and not giving. Think about stuff and what's going to be bought and given to me rather than how can I bless someone else in a good way. And again, when I think about and when I'm challenging you in the month of December to be a gracious giver, I'm not wanting you to think in terms of money. Some of you are sitting out there saying, I don't have a job. I'm not old enough to have a job. I don't make a lot of money and I have a job. I'm not wanting you to think in terms of paying for something, wrapping it up and giving it to them. I'm saying be a giver. Give yourself, give your time, and let that giving flow from a heart of gratitude. Here's what I can do for you to be a blessing to you, and I do it gladly because of what my God in Jesus Christ first has done for me. That is my challenge to all of us. If the Lord gives us the rest of November and all of December, to think about being grateful, thankful, benevolent people. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name, for the Lord is what? Good. I know He's good. I know He's good. But have you tasted, in the language of the Apostle Peter, have you tasted and seen that the Lord is gracious? Maybe you're here this morning and you acknowledge that your predicament is the sickness of your sins, a condition for which you are helpless and powerless to save yourself. And your plea is, God, have mercy on me. God, save me. God has made all things and all provisions possible for your redemption and for your salvation from sin through the gift of His Son and your Savior, Jesus the Christ. He calls you by the gospel, the good news of the gospel of grace, and encourages you to respond. The question for you is, will you receive? Will you respond in obedience and in faith to the gospel and come to Jesus Christ, repenting of your sins, confessing your faith, and being immersed and baptized to have your sins washed away? Maybe you're here this morning as a child of God. You've been unthankful. You've been ungrateful. Repent of that. Acknowledge that. Turn from that so that you will be forgiven, cleansed, useful to God, and of great benefit and service to others. We can help you this morning. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?